Let us pray. O gracious and holy Father, give us wisdom to perceive you, intelligence to understand you, diligence to seek you, patience to wait for you, eyes to behold you, a heart to meditate upon you, and a life to proclaim you, through the power of the Spirit of our Lord Jesus Christ. Amen. Please be seated. It's been a while. Now, some of you may wonder as to the plaster on my forehead. Just to be clear, it was not an intentional preparation for this sermon, but I had a spiritual revelation, and my third eye started to open up. So, you may wonder, how does this third eye open up? Well, the process is rather simple. It starts on Friday evening, afternoon, when one of you guys who you left to finish up the site calls you that the newly installed vent on the metal roof starts to dribble water. So you quickly rush out there, fully confident that the only reason that's happening is because you put that vent there when it was raining, so it must have had some water, residual water in it. So I rush out there, wearing still my shorts and everything else, because I took all my other clothes off by now and threw it in the laundry. And as I get to site and I looked at the vent, suddenly I realized that that's not what's happening. So I quickly rush over to the truck, start to get my gear on. I looked at my safety belt and I was like, it's wet, I'll put it on. But then I looked at my rubber knee pads and I looked at my shorts and I figured, well, that's not going to work really well, so I'll just leave them aside. Now, the roof pitch is roughly 10-12, so it's slightly not as steep as our roof, but it is still fairly steep. So as I get on the roof, I realize that what's actually happening is that the metal panels, and they have a tendency when it's not finished with the ridge vent, they take in water behind them. And I'm pretty sure for three past days, I was telling my guys to seal those panels behind them when the rain's coming. But of course, that wasn't done. So as I'm working away, trying to get the stuff done, and roughly in that kind of a position with the rope holding me, my feet give way, and my head goes straight forward into the rib of the metal panel. And I saw the light! Now, I saw a lot of blood right after that as well. So I quickly patched myself up, and fully expecting that that's going to stir up some conversations at home. Oh yes, and I saw the light that I was a fool. Now, as soon as I got home, Helena told me that I am a fool and I'm setting a bad example in terms of safety to all our workers. Initially, I was very, how would I put this? Angry is an understatement. But, after the dinner, I quickly patched myself up. I actually went back to site, finished what I was doing, and then we went to the hospital. I had about 5 hours in the waiting room to get stitches and a lot of time to think about this. So, as I was thinking about it and started to calm down a little bit, I, thought about the book of Proverbs today and the words of wisdom that waywardness kills the simple and complacency of fools destroys them. And as I reflected on these words, I have to say I agree. I was very complacent in that moment. As wisdom carries on the conversation, it almost pleads with us. How long are the simple ones will love being simple? Give heed to my reproof. I pour out my thoughts to you. I will make my words known to you. Yet soon, as the words of wisdom fall on deaf ears, wisdom turns into a bit more of a sour tone. Because I have called to you, and you refuse, I have stretched out my hand and no one heeded, and because you have ignored all my counsel and the wicked have none of my reproof, I will also laugh at your calamity. Now, I would say that wisdom is less likely to cause that calamity. It's more that I have to admit, even I had a giggle once I come down about the whole situation. It wasn't exactly a pleasant feeling, but there was a bit of a silver lining in it. And let's just say, when I looked at my split forehead, I did see, the new signs of spiritual awakening becoming more apparent. I think that the words of wisdom oftentimes fall on deaf ears because it does contrast with our own egos. The words of wisdom often ask for humility, patience, and acceptance of responsibility that requires courage and often leads to embracing discomforts and challenges of this life. In our gospel reading, Jesus turns to his disciples and asks a seemingly simple question, "Who do you think I am?" Peter answers that he thinks that Jesus is a Messiah, and it seems like a correct answer that should earn Peter an A+. Yet Jesus tells all of his disciples not to tell anyone about him, and instead begins to teach them about what he, the Son of Man, has to endure, his death and resurrection. And of course, that doesn't sit well with Peter, and he takes Jesus to the side and rebukes him, which in turn Jesus rebukes Peter. Then Jesus calls the crowds of followers with his disciples and tells them that if any wants to become my followers, let them deny themselves and take up their cross and follow me. On this note, I would like to point out that Jesus doesn't tell his followers to take up his cross or take up a similar cross, but to take up their cross and follow him. To take up my cross and follow Jesus. I feel that by this, Jesus means that one of the purposes of his presence within that moment was to display, and to the extreme, to bring about a model of living a life in the presence of God, a model of living in God's image. That is to say, not to be enthralled by his own ego. Each of us has our own cross to bear, our own responsibility, and our own struggles. What I believe, when Jesus calls his followers, that is to live their lives in the image of God. And by accepting responsibility of our lives, and by modeling our lives to others who follow in the presence of God. And this is what I mean, or meant, earlier, that the words of wisdom ask for humility, an acceptance of responsibility, and that requires courage and often leads to embracing discomfort. It is much easier to place our responsibility in someone else's hands. I think this is why Peter is so upset. He proclaims Jesus as a Messiah, someone who's supposed to make prophecies come true, to bring about a kingdom of God in this life, to make things better, to take away the pain, the suffering, the injustice, to free Israel and to build a new flourishing kingdom, a state free of oppression. Instead, Jesus tells all around him that he is here to endure pain, suffering, and death, and live a short and selfless life. Consider for a moment the politics of our day. As human beings, we love our leaders, we love strong leaders, and we love to hate our current and former leaders. Just with our, not even to go south of the border, just with our local elections right now looming, it's kind of difficult to turn on the radio for an extended period of time and not to run into one of those campaign advertisements nowadays. And with some of the personal experience, one kind of stuck out with me. Long wait at the hospital, rampant drug addiction. It's that guy's fault. I'll make it all better. But in essence, all of those advertisements come down to the same pitch. Pick me and life will be better. Pick the other side and your problems will increase. I think this is what having a leader or a figurehead does for us. It absolves us as participants of this life, of a sense of responsibility. Say if time gets bad, a particular governing leader, we tend to blame that person and attach that name to those times and those troubles. Rarely do we even look at the surrounding entourage of that person. Well, they were kind of there and helped to bring all of that about, but nobody else really takes that responsibility. I think to some extent, and to justify this, it kind of helps. Organically, it helps our minds to process complex social developments. In a biblical example, if we think of kings, God tells Israel, and I'm paraphrasing this, of course, you don't need a king, just draw close to me. Build a personal relationship with me, and I will guide you. But Israel instead says, no, but we really want a king. Everyone else has one. God is like, no, you don't. Kings will not be good for you. But Israel says, yes, we do. Please give us one. Then God finally, as a good parent, caves in and gives them one. And after a little while, Israel complains, this one is not a good king. Give us another one. And then eventually, after a string of kings who were or ended up being defective, God gives people Jesus. To me, in our gospel today, it looks like Jesus' model of life is challenging exactly that human condition of the mind. It tells us that we should not glorify or depend on our leaders to fix everything, or to lay blame when things go wrong. Rather, Jesus tells his followers to pick up their cross and follow him, to imitate his model, to live a life of service, patience, and compassion. Not to seek to lay blame on those around us or in charge of us, to be leaders ourselves in any little way it is natural for us. To be a leader and an example to those around us, be they only our close family members, our friends, co-workers, or a larger community. In my personal experience, as my mind was racing to lay blame, I considered what could I have done differently in this particular situation. And the more I thought about this, the more I realized that there were multiple routes in my reach to make the situation different. The simplest way was to, that there was no really immediate danger, and really the only reason I was rushing is because I wanted to get back to dinner. I could have went home, get all the proper clothing, and did the job properly, and not, you know, bring about the situation such as it unfolded. And I would have inverted the chance of injury, and especially injury to my pride. But then again, I wouldn't have this prop for today's sermon. So maybe enduring this was life's lesson, and that was the point in itself. I have a thick skull, so that's helpful. The question is only, how do we carry ourselves through storms that this world inevitably throws at us? By following in Jesus' footstep, or instead looking for someone to lay blame? Let us pray. Eternal Father, whose Son, Jesus, was in the fullness of his power, most gentle, and in his greatness, most humble, bestow his mind and spirit upon us, who have no cause for pride, that clothed in true humility we may discern the way of true greatness. Hear our prayer through the same Jesus, who is now Lord and Christ. Amen.